Wow, let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a great day. Oh, what a great conference. I just love it, Lord. Thank you for letting us be together. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who died and rose again and gives us eternal life as a gift by faith. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for Ephesians and just how fun it is to study it. And once again, Lord, thank you that we get to all be together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love the conference. I love being here. You know, at Oklahoma State, we're the Cowboys, but sometimes we go like, go Pokes, and these are supposed to be guns. And so last night, I was sitting at the long table, and Bob's down at one end, and I'm down at the other end, and Bob's doing all these signs and everything. And at first, I thought he was saying, go Pokes and things, but he was actually looking at me, and he was going, JB, you are a loser. You are a loser. And so I went, thank you so for that encouragement, Bob. It really, really meant a lot to me. But I'm so proud of you. Wow, when you think about this conference, it is so fantastic. I trusted Christ when I was 19 under Knapp Clark, and most of you know about Knapp, and he knew grace before anybody else really knew grace. But anyway, he just was so amazing. But in the years we started coming to the conference, I mean, I knew the understanding that salvation is a gift by faith alone and Christ alone, but we'd come to these conferences going way back, and there would be things I'd go, I've never heard that. This is so amazing how everything fits together. And so thanks, Bob and Sean and everybody connected with GES. I love it, and I thank God for you. The second thing is, when I get to come, I love it because I look out there, I see these faces, and y'all are the greatest people. Listen, I mean, when I come here, people, they love one another. And sometimes the only time we ever see is once a year. But I hope we never stop. I hope we just keep coming. And I just absolutely love it. Well, we're going to finish up. And, you know, Sean only had 7 verses, and they gave me 14. I think it's because I talk twice as fast as Sean. So I figured that's why they gave that to me. But we'll have to go really fast because, you know, we don't have that much time. And it's a lot. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 24. And I really call this armed for battle. And we're going to look at 2 things. We're going to look at the armor of God and then the closing part. Now, I've got to talk about it for a second because, you know, I love football. And I got to be a football coach. And I actually got to be at Mississippi State when I was 23 years old. And the first really big trip we ever went to, we played LSU in football. LSU went to the Orange Bowl that year. And I remember standing on the sideline, 23 years old, and we're playing LSU. And they beat us, and they went on to the Orange Bowl and won. And they were just great. But what I didn't know, there was a defensive back guy on the game, in the field. Never knew him. His name was Walt Millett right there. And he played that day, and he got hurt that day. And he didn't get to play against Alabama the next week, but he did get to go to the Orange Bowl. But what would be amazing? I think back and say, what if that day I'm standing on the field and God says, see that guy out there on LSU's team, that defensive back? One day you're going to get to be with that guy and you're going to love him. You don't know it now. You don't even know him now. But one day y'all going to be together and you're going to love that guy. And when you think about how God takes our lives and works in our lives. Well, the reason that I wanted to just say something about football, because, you know, I purchased all the athletic equipment at Mississippi State. And, you know, we had to buy all the football stuff and helmets and knee pads. I don't know if Walt ever wore a helmet. But anyway, we had knee pads and shoulder pads and everything. And before you could go in a game, you had to be ready to go. Well, the same thing is true as a Christian. If we're going to go, if we got a battle to fight, we've been looking at Ephesians, and who in the world, I mean, think about it, in about a 3-day time period, you've gone completely through a whole book of the Bible with details and verse by verse and getting some great stuff. And so it's really wonderful. Well, this last part, and when I think about Ephesians, you think about, that, as we've been saying, chapters 1, 2, and 3, I always say who we are in Christ. This is telling us who we are in our position and our truths and all that. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6 is how we live out who we are in Christ. And it's there where we have all of those, charges and to live. And think about it, and starting in chapter 4, walk worthy to call and equip the believers to do the work of the ministry. Walk in love, walk in light, walk in wisdom. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, do this. Parents, children, slaves, masters, all the way through, charge after charge after charge. And then if you look at verse 10 of chapter 6, he says, finally. And we're getting to the end. And, you know, I know many of you in churches, and your pastor says, finally, and he doesn't really mean that. You know, he's to the end, and he says, finally, and then it's another 15 or 20 minutes. But when Paul says, finally, he's right at the end. I mean, he's really going to say, let me give you some final things. And I just call this the charge. And this is the charge to put on the armor, the charge to live righteously and godly, the charge to be ready to stand. And so just the outline, just, and I don't want to go a lot of details, but I've got the armor of God and the charge to stand and the reason that we stand, and then the items of the armor. And this is so familiar to you, so I'm going to go quickly through it, and I just want to touch on some things. And then he ends all this, and a lot of times people leave this out. When you say armor of God, you forget about the prayer part, which is at the end. And then the closing is just some neat things we'll see. But let's think about the armor, and there's the charge, the reason, the items, and the prayer. So let's start with the charge. And look at verse 10. He says, finally, here's the charge. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The command there. The command is to keep on being strong. In the Lord, it's not our power. We all know that. We can't do anything. We got to walk in the Spirit. We'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only way we can have victory in the Christian life is God's power through us. And we see this idea of being God's strength. In fact, he talks about his mighty strength. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his mighty strength. We've seen in the book all the way back in the first part in those prayers where in Ephesians 1, he said that you would know the surpassing greatness of his power toward us. Or in chapter 3, verse 14, where he said, we're strengthened with his power through his Spirit. So we're not strong in our power, we're strong in his power. So Paul says, listen, finally, you got to be strong in the Lord. It's the Lord and it's his strength. That's the only way you can live the Christian life. That's the only way we're going to make it, is stand strong that way. And then he says, then he gets down and he says, okay, here's the charge. And this is how you stand strong. You have to put on the full armor of God. Notice what he says, put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. He says, clothe yourself with the full armor of God. And it's the idea of wrapping it, get dressed. And so here we are, we're getting ready to go out. You know, there's that commercial where I don't even know what it's talking about, but there's this couple and they go and somebody's taking their pants. You know, they're standing, have you seen the commercial? They're standing there, somebody's got my pants. Well, they can't go out. And then the grandmama goes by and says, I'm going to go play cards or something. And she goes out the door and he goes, I didn't steal grandmother's pants. And the bottom line is, we can't go out if we're not clothed. We can't stand strong if we're not clothed in the full armor of God. And when he says full armor, he's saying it's not just some of the pieces, or not just a helmet, or it's not just some right shoes. It's every aspect. If we're going to stand strong, and this is one thing, we're going to see it in just a second, but notice what he says, put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. A lot of people, I spoke at a BSU, they're called BCM now, and it was BSU a long time ago, and I remember going and they asked me to come speak, and I got there and I was waiting to speak, and they had this group singing, and they were singing this song, we're going to go out and stomp all over the devil. That was the song, and I kept listening to it, and I said, I'm not going to go out and stomp all over the devil. I'm not going to go find him. I'm not looking for him. I know he may be looking for me, but I'm not looking for him. We are not, listen, because he says, easy mark, I can get that guy. But the bottom line is, we're not going after. Putting on the armor of God is not going after something. Putting on the armor of God is so we can stand. It's all defensive. Even the word of God is defensive. We're standing there like this in a fallen world, and he says, get yourself prepared, wrapped up, ready to go, so you can stand. Put on the full armor of God so you'll be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. When you think about schemes, it's lies, it's tricks. He's a liar. He's a liar. I hate him. Do you hate him? I hate him. He lies. The Greek word there is methodos. It's a method. He's a liar. His helpers come as angels of light, and they fool all kind of people. Listen to this. His names: Wicked One, Devil, Satan, Liar, Power of Darkness, Serpent, God of this age, Murderer, Great Red Dragon, Father of Lies, Beelzebub, Adversary, the Enemy. That's who he is. I hate him. Don't you hate him? Yeah, he hate him, and he wants to trick us. And he says, Paul says, you better put on this full armor so that you can stand against his schemes. You know, he's got a plan. And for the unbeliever, his plan is this: never trust Christ. He doesn't care if you're religious. In fact, he would like you to be religious. In fact, the whole world is full of religion, as whether it's Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever ism are out there that's out there, whatever it is, whether it's many Christian organizations that tell you you have to do good works to be saved. His plan is that you never trust Christ. His plan is that you never understand who Jesus is and how by faith alone and Christ alone you can be saved forever. He doesn't care how, he would love you to go to church. There are people who go to church every Sunday, and he goes, just keep on going, because you think you found the answer. You think it's your good works. You think it's by being baptized. You think it's by trying to live right, and I'm happy about that. His goal is the unbeliever would never trust Christ. For us, his goal is that we would fail, that we would never serve. We would never get involved. We would say things like, well, you know, I had a friend that I loved him, but he would say, you know, I wish I could come to church, but Sunday is the day I sail my ship. I got a little boat and I go over to Tulsa, and that's every Sunday. That's when I get to go sailing. I really wish I could come to church. See? But that's the way it is. For the believers, he says, if you can just get your mind off living for Jesus Christ, and as a lot of the guys have talked about over these 3 or 4 days, is, you know, your life counts for him and live for him and walk worthy of the calling and all of those things. As long as the devil says, it's too late, you're already saved, but I don't want you to serve. I don't want you to be involved. As Luther wrote, his craft and power are great, armed with cruel hate. See, he lies. His stuff will take you further than you ever thought, and it'll cost you more than you ever thought. And so he says you got to put on the full armor of God. And then he gives us really what I call the reason to put it on. It's because we're in a spiritual battle. Look what he says. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For, here's the explanation, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. It's a spiritual battle. That's what we're in. People aren't the enemy. A lot of times we think they're the enemy. We say, well, that person doesn't believe, like, man, I don't even like them. They're not the enemy. They're fooled. They're bothered. They're messed up. The real enemy is a spiritual battle going on. We talked the other day, and I don't know if it's Bob and I talking, but the idea of this, there's a whole spiritual conflict out there and dealing with the demons and everything and the good angels. And are we as people in the creation and the world something that God is using to teach angels? I don't know, but there's a spiritual conflict going on in our lives that we can't even see. We have a Bible Institute, and I taught a class last fall on angels and demons. As soon as we put down angels and demons, the class had 70 to 80 people in it, just like that, signed up, because everybody's interested in that. And we went through it and talked about it. And there's a battle out there. And I don't want to go into the details of rulers and powers and authorities and spiritual forces and all of that, but there is a spiritual battle. And so he says this, and here's the chart. Look, be strong in God's power. Why? How are you going to? Well, you got to put on the armor of God. Why? So we can stand against the devil and the demons, and it's a spiritual battle. And one of the things you've got to grasp, he keeps saying, stand. Notice how he said, put on the full armor of God and the strength is might. Put on the armor so you can stand. Our struggle is not against this, so we can stand. Therefore, in verse 13, take up the full armor so you can be able to resist. And so he repeats in verse 13 the charge again. He says, take up the full armor of God. He already said that, but he says again, why? So that you'll be able to resist. Not go out and fight. No, stomp all over the devil. No, but you'll be able to resist in the evil day that we're in. And having done everything, do what? Stand firm. He keeps saying it over and over. And that's so that we'll be able to resist, so we'll be able to stand. And I have to keep remembering that we're not going out. We're going out in a fallen world to proclaim the greatest message of all in Jesus Christ. But we're not going out to fight the enemy. My Savior's going to fight the enemy. My Savior says, put on the armor so you can stand. If you remember, what does it say in certain places? You put on the armor and you draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And the devil will flee from you. Devil's not fleeing because of me. The devil's fleeing because of him, because our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we got to put on the full armor of God. You think about what we know. I think 1 Peter, he says, be careful, be on the alert. You got this. You got an enemy. You got an adversary, the devil, who's like a roaring lion, and he's looking to devour you. And that's what he loved nothing better than fired up men and women who love Jesus Christ to cause them to fall, to destroy them, to devour. But he says what? But resist him. Keep on resisting. James 4:7-8, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you, because it's Jesus Christ. Well, from that, he's already said two different times, put on the armor of God. So let's talk about the armor, and that's going to start in verse 14, and I'm going to go real quickly through it. But look how he starts it there. He doesn't just say, okay, here's the armor. He says what? Stand firm, therefore. It's always the same thing. Stand firm. We're in a battle. We're standing over here. We've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've got the Savior. We've got the Fighter. We've got the Defender. And here we are. He says, put this on so you can stand. And here he says, stand firm, therefore. And then he says, having girded your loins with the truth and the breastplate of righteousness and the feet with the gospel of peace and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So he lists all of these things. And so let's start, and we're going to go really quickly through them, but the first one is the belt of truth. That's a belt. The belt held everything together. And think about this. Paul is in prison, chained to a Roman soldier when he's writing this, most likely. And so as he's writing this, he thinks, what would be really good? Okay, that guy's got a helmet, and he's got a breastplate, he's got a belt on, he's got those shoes there, he's got a sword. So he says, in the wisdom of God and the Holy Spirit, he says, what about this first one? And that's the belt of what? What is it? It's the truth. The truth. Look, we live in a world that doesn't have any truth. Our world says, oh, everything's relative. And I said, is that a relative statement? If everything's relative, I mean, think about it, what they say. And so the belt held everything together. I mean, you put the sword in the belt and you held the breastplate in there. And so he says the truth, and the truth does. The truth holds everything together. Mark Twain said, a lie can travel halfway around the world while truth is still putting on his shoes. And it's really true. What is Satan's lies? Have you thought about this? Well, you know what he says? He says, sin won't hurt you. I mean, actually, sin's good. See, sin's good. You can eat that fruit. You can eat that fruit. You can do this. You can look over there. You can do this because really you deserve it. You deserve it. Sin won't hurt you. And God really doesn't love you. If God really loved you, think about Adam and Eve in the garden. If God really loved you, that's what Satan came and said. If God really loved you, he'd let you eat from everything. If God really loved you, he'd let you eat from everything. And God's actually a liar, because if you eat from everything, you're not going to die. So God doesn't love you. And works can save you. If you can do good. I mean, most of you know my background. I mean, I went to church once when I was 6 and once when I was 12. And the only thing I remember when I was 12 is they had donuts in between Sunday school and church. That's what I remember. And when I wandered into a Bible study, I trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. But up to that point, I said, okay, if somebody said, you're going to go to heaven? I'd say, I'm pretty sure I'm going. How do you know? Well, because I already know that if you're going to stand before God, big, big scale, and if you do more good than bad, you get to go to heaven. So every time I think I've done something wrong, I'm going to try to do a couple of rights. And so when I stand before God, I'll be okay. That's what I actually thought. Satan had me fooled until I went into a Bible study. They shut the door. I couldn't get out. And I heard the grace. It's true. And I couldn't get out. And I heard the grace message. The Bible is the truth. The, as he says here, put on this having your loins girded with the truth. You think about the truth. Jesus Christ is the truth. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible is the truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. And in John 14:17, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. And so how are you going to stand firm? How are you going to resist the devil? How are you going to resist the liar? You got to know truth. So put on the truth, knowing and applying the word of God. From there, he goes on and he says this, and I'm going to go quickly now. And he says, and then he says, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's what that thing was. And the breastplate was important because it blocked a lot of things. It helped the vital organs if something hit you and everything. And I think when you think about righteousness, we think two aspects of righteousness. First of all, God has given to every believer that what we call the imputed righteousness, Philippians 3:9, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which comes on the basis of faith. And of course, Romans 4:5, to him who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, he is what? Faith is credited for righteousness. That's the imputed righteousness of God. And so we have this breastplate of righteousness. I think there's another aspect, which is to live out righteously every day. Titus 2:12, it says, denying ungodliness and worldly things, we live righteously and godly in this present age. And so the breastplate of righteousness, I think, is the idea that you are righteous and live that out. That's chapter 4:1. Walk worthy of the calling in which you've been called. Our position, perfectly righteous, daily, experiential, we want to live out that righteousness. So he says, stand in the truth. against the liar, in righteousness against the evil one. And then we go to the third piece, and which is called the gospel of peace. Notice what he says, having your feet and shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you think about those shoes, and a lot of the Roman shoes, the soldiers, they had those little spike things in them so that when they fought, they could stand and be anchored. And we think about the gospel, and I don't have to go into a lot of detail on this, but when we think about the gospel, it's the good news. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for sin and rose again to conquer death, and he has an offer. The offer is eternal life, and the way that you get that offer is you believe. The response is to believe in him for eternal life. You would not believe how many people don't know that. And at church, we've been teaching that for some years now based on being helped by GES. And the bottom line is people will say, well, you trust Jesus so you can have a good life. You trust Jesus so you get to do this. No, you trust in Jesus to give you what? Eternal life. That's what it's all about. And the church today, I think, announces good life rather than the good news. And we got people in our community. And I mean, our church is doing fine. And on a good Sunday, 400, 450. But we got other churches, and I ain't going to mention a name, that's poor. And people just flock there. There's no Bible teaching. There's nothing. And they just flock there. And it just breaks my heart. And people, the world, even the churches have readjusted the message to offer happiness rather than the truth of eternal life. Paul Harvey said, too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium. It is true. That's what it is. And we, everybody says, we got our church and we got our friends and we got our group. And I've had some people actually say, well, not in our church, because our church, we want people. But you talk to people and they'll say, we got to be careful, because some of these new people come in and going to mess it up because, you know, they're going to sit in our seats and they're going to do this over here. And they're not going to do everything the way we've always done it. And I say, we want as many new people as we can get, you know. The gospel of peace. Peace through having been justified by faith, we have peace with Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. Truth against the liar, righteousness against the evil one, good news against the, probably shouldn't have put fake news, should have, but anyway, good news against the fake news. The next one, if you notice, it says, in addition to all this, take the shield of faith. Oh, the shield of faith. I love that picture. I think of my Savior Jesus Christ, who is the shield. And when you think about it, faith is the answer. When you think about faith, and people get all confused, and I'm too simple, but I just basically say faith is a shield of faith. Stop things from hurting us. Faith is just taking God at his word. That's what it is. Faith is taking God at his word, believing the promises and the principles. He says, I give you eternal life. Do you believe that? I believe he gives me eternal life. God's word is full of truths and principles. We take up that faith is taking God at his word. We take up the shield of faith as we believe God's word, and we hold the promises and principles found in the Bible. There was a song back when I first started growing as a Christian. Philip Bliss is in the hymn book. It says, my faith has found a resting place, not in device or creed, but it is in the what? The written word of God. Four times when Jesus, four times the Bible talks about just shall live by faith. We think about the time that Jesus was being tempted by Satan. What did he say? He went back to the word of God. And so faith is the shield when the trials, the temptations, the hardships, the doubts, they come. That's what it is. And I always think of this. I think of Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. And then it goes on a little bit more information for those who love God, those who are called according to purpose. But we all know that God's working things. And we should never, Hebrews 13, he'll never leave us or forsake us. Why should we what? Fear. So if you're afraid, you say, I'm by myself. You're not by yourself. He's with you. He's going to supply all your needs. I don't know how we're going to make it. He's going to supply all your needs. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That doesn't mean you can be a high jumper if you're my height, but it does mean that he's going to work all kind of things, isn't he? And you can do the things that he has for you to do, because he's going to be the one to empower you. And so we think about that. Oh, it's just beautiful. And so what have we seen? We got to put on the armor. And so we got the truth and we got righteousness and we got the gospel and we got the shield of faith. And then, of course, he gets to verse 17 and he talks about the helmet of salvation. Look at that. Oh, man. Every time I see that, I think of some movie or something. But anyway, it's really good. And the word helmet is the thing that went around. It protected the head. And when I think the helmet of salvation, what we teach at our church, and this I just think that this is what it's all about. I tell people, what do you think the story of the Bible is? And people have all kind of ideas. Well, we think the story of the Bible is how the perfect God brings sinful man back to himself using his son, Jesus Christ. We think the story of the Bible is reconciliation. Mankind failed. God has a promise of a redeemer in Genesis 3:15. The Bible is the story of this one coming. And so God so loved the world that he brings mankind back to himself through his son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17-20. Reconciliation. Under reconciliation, we see the idea of salvation, because there's more than one kind of salvation. We know there's the physical deliverance and things like that, but when you think about salvation, there's a whole aspect that God totally saves us, past, present, and future. When we talk about the helmet of salvation, we can talk about past salvation, how that's called justification, how Jesus Christ died for us and paid for us, and when we trust in him, we are declared righteous. We are justified freely as a gift, and so we're saved from the guilt and the penalty of sin, and that's the salvation that he has for us. And then there's a whole present salvation, which we call sanctification, in which we're saved from the power of sin, which we try to live out who we are. We know there's a battle in Romans. Paul says, you know, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. There's this battle between the flesh and the spirit, and we want to live righteously and godly in this present age, and so that's that whole idea. And then there's a future aspect of salvation, which saved from the presence of sin. We call that glorification, when Jesus Christ comes to get us. I always think of Titus 2:11, where he says, the grace of God brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's justification, to teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to live righteously and godly in this present age. That's sanctification, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's glorification. Now, we don't have a whole lot of time left, so I want to go really quickly and look at this one. So I'm going to speed it up just a little bit. But anyway, the sword is the word of God. Oh, I love this, and I love that picture. The sword is the word of God. It's the double-edged sword, and for the Romans, they had a Machaira, which was the sword that they used. I think of Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's what it is. You know, many books can inform, but only the Bible can transform. It is the written word of God. The Bible written by kings, princes, fishermen, statesmen, people educated in Egypt, Babylon. I mean, just an amazing. And I think about the Bible, and I want you to remember this. We're supposed to know the word. 2 Timothy 2:15. You got to know the word. You got to study to show yourself approved, a workman, approved to God. A workman need not be ashamed. You got to apply the word. Philippians 4:9. Take what you've been taught and apply these. You got to proclaim the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. You got to teach the word. 2 Timothy 2:2. I talked with Bob the other day, and you know, if you really get specific with 2 Timothy 2:2, it appears that Paul is telling Timothy to teach the elders in that church there, in that area, and then they're turn around and raise up leadership. But the great truth is, that is probably the exact thing Paul was telling, but the bottom line is, we all take what we've been taught and pass that on to faithful people who will be able to teach others as well. And then the idea of memorizing the word, Psalm 119:11, that's the goal, is to memorize the Bible. And I love this part right here, because we got this armor, and we're supposed to put on the armor, but look at Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. What do you mean? Well, listen, Christ is the way and the truth. Christ is our righteousness. He's the good news. He is the one in which we have faith. He is the one that brings us the salvation, and he is the living word of God. So it's so much there. So we've got just a few minutes to finish these other verses, and this is so important because it's prayer. It's prayer. Because notice what he says. We get told about the armor and putting it on and being strong. And then he says, now with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. He does four things. He says what to do, when to do it, how to do it, and who. And I'll go very quickly in verse 18. What to do? With all prayer and petition. When to do it? At all times. How to do it? In the spirit. And who for? Well, for whom all the saints. He says, pray for all the saints. And then there's another part there that I love. And he says, and pray for me on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me, that in the opening of my mouth I make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. We got to be bold. Think about it. Paul is saying, pray for me that I'd be bold. I think Paul's always bold. Well, Paul says, pray for me. Do all of us need to be bold? Do we need to pray for each other that we'd be bold? Do we need to put on the armor of God and then we'd be bold to proclaim the message? He says, I'm an ambassador in change. that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that's what we need to do. And we don't need to back down. I talked to Buddy, my friend Buddy. Where's Buddy? Right there. Buddy says, you know, guess what? In my church, I'm not politically correct, and I'm not going to be. That's right. Because he stands strong for the word of God. And that's what we got to do. We got to stand strong for the word of God. And so he said, pray for all the believers. And so pray at all time in the power of the Holy Spirit for all believers. Pray for Paul. He ends up with this last part. In the closing, he gives information. He said, I want to give you information. He says, but you may know about my circumstances. I'm sending Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord. He'll let you know everything about me. And then he goes on to say, and I've sent him so that you may know. And so he said, hey, I want you to know about us, and I want you to be comforted, because he said that he may comfort your hearts. And you know, when you find out about somebody and something's going on, and you say, oh, good, I got good word, everything's going good. Paul says, even though I'm in prison, listen, it hadn't stopped anything. It hadn't stopped the message at all, and everything is good. And so I'm sending Tychicus so you can know. He ends up, I know time is up. I don't know. Is time up? Yeah, okay. Let me get this last part. I know. Yeah, well, you were talking to somebody else, but I don't know. It doesn't matter. But yeah. I know. It's just so good you were enraptured of. But anyway, look at this last part, which, look at these words, peace, love, faith, and grace. Look what he says, peace be to the brethren, love with faith from God the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, grace be with all of those who love our Lord Jesus Christ. I think of peace to the brothers. He says, love God, a love of God through Jesus Christ, with faith, we're trusting God. And then it's the grace of God. Oh, we can't ever get over the grace of God. We can't get over any of those things, but that is so good. So what does he say? Be strong in the Lord. Let's put on the armor of God. Why? So we can stand against the devil in a fallen world. Be strong. We got truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, the word of God, praying for each other. And so as I know we went really fast, but my bottom line to all of us, let's be strong. Let's be strong, and the only way we're going to be strong is put on the armor of God, because we're in a fallen world. It's a spiritual battle. We've got truth. We got righteousness. We got the gospel. We got faith. We got the shield of faith. We got the salvation message, past, present, and future. We got the word of God, which is alive and powerful, and we'd be praying for each other so that we can stand strong. Heavenly Father, what a great message, what a great book, the things that you give us and tell us to put on the armor so we can stand strong, and then to pray for one another and to keep each other informed and have peace and love and faith and grace and stand strong. And Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for everyone in this room that we will stand strong, putting on the armor of God in your strength and have all his armor on so that we can stand strong in a fallen world, that we can speak boldly as we should speak as we live for our Savior Jesus Christ, never forgetting the grace of God, the peace of God, the love of God, and living by faith. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, thanks.